When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Flying solo today with you. 800-919-3776 is the number. Get your calls in now while you can. I have a feeling you're going to be jam-packed all day. That's what we expect. I'm going to spend the next 3 hours talking to you along with a bunch of different guests that I am hoping to have also as part of the show. What a weekend we had. What a busy one in the sports world for sure. And, of course, the weather starting to turn. Gorgeous day today in New York City. And, you know, again, as I've mentioned, it is springtime in New York. No better time when you got playoff hockey and playoff basketball. And that's what we've got certainly for you. And we're going to talk plenty about the Knicks and the Sixers. Game two tonight at the Garden. The Knicks, of course, with that. Just talk about a dramatic win in game one on Saturday night in the building. And the mood swings in this game were unbelievable. And the different things that you saw in that game also, there is just so many things to talk about. And then, of course, to say, what are we going to get in game two? Because there was really nothing from game one that you could take into game two and say, okay, this is what we know about the series. I'm telling you, we still don't know anything about this series. So many variables that also include right now two major variables for the 76ers. The first one's the obvious one, Joel Embiid, as he is considered feeling better, but he is still listed as questionable. Now, keep in mind, he was also listed as questionable for game one, and he still ended up playing that game, played well early, and then, of course, retweaked the knee and came back and wasn't the same. But the expectation is he's probably going to give it a go tonight again. Whether or not that's a good idea, there's a huge debate going on in Philadelphia about that right now. But right now, questionable. The other name on the injury list for the Sixers is one that raised a lot of eyebrows. Tyrese Maxey. He is listed as questionable as well. They have him with an illness. So I imagine something happened between Saturday night and this morning that led him to not feel so well being in New York City. I mean, Penn Station sushi? Like, what did he have? What happened that affected him? Listen, I also say this. A guy might be listed as questionable with an illness. It's a playoff game. We've seen guys play through a lot of things just to be in the playoffs. I highly doubt that Tyrese Maxey is going to miss a playoff game with his team already down in the series by a game. With a tummy ache. I highly doubt he is sitting out this game. But you have to look at the injury list and you have to play it from there, and that's what we see. So that is what's going on there. Like I said, we're going to get an assorted bunch of people who are covering the NBA for us and elsewhere that can give us the latest on everything that we're hearing about the series and what's going on there. We'll go around the NBA as well because this is the first time since 1970 that every home team won game one. Not one single road team won. And there's a lot to learn from these playoffs, certainly going forward. And the second round, which if the Knicks get out of this one, the matchup would be the winner of the Bucks and the Pacers. And did we learn anything out of game one? I don't think we did. There's other people coming out of that thing, and they were just overreacting to one half of basketball, which was a brilliant half for Damian Lillard. But still, like, I don't think we've learned anything from that series. There's nothing really yet to figure out other than Indiana looked like they were overwhelmed in the first half and they had a terrible game plan against Dame Lillard. And Lillard was just ridiculous. Second half, things started to figure itself out. Is that going to be more what the series is like? I don't trust the Bucks. So again, a lot to learn certainly from that. But as I mentioned, the calls, 800-919-3776. We are going to get them stacked, racked, ready to go, and we'll get right into it. But I'll give you some of my takeaways from game one and everything that I felt like going into it and then going out of it. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is this, is that as I said on Get Up this morning, I've got to be honest with you. I moved around the building a lot in game one. I was first upstairs watching from high up because, first of all, game one of the playoffs at the Garden, there's nothing like it. It's jam-packed. I mean, you're talking about wall-to-wall. You just can't move. And it's awesome. You love it. But it just definitely has that standing room only kind of feel. So I was like, let me get away from people. I just want to watch the game. I don't want to have to look over someone. I don't want to be around. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get locked in. Zero chance. I mean, I was up somewhere and I can't see. Like, I can't see. I can't feel it. I can't get into it. So the team didn't get off to a good start. So I'm very superstitious. So I moved. I'm like, let me move. Let me see if, you know, change up the feeling, right? The mojo, as they say. So I moved down and I got to, and again, I'm very fortunate for this, but this is, you know, after, you know, 12 years of working at the Garden or working for MSG Network, you know, you just know your way around. And I found my way down to the floor level. And there's an area by the tunnel where the Knicks locker room is, but the visiting team, that's their bench side. There's an area over there where the security guards are great to me and they just say, you can hang out over here. I'll usually do that. And I was just right there. And so the second quarter's going on. Obviously, things went a lot better. And so with that in mind, I just decided I'm going to post up right here. The Embiid dunk, which was to see it in person, was insane. When he landed, and there's a lot of people that stood up, he disappeared. Now, he's 7'2". The average human being stands up. A 7'2" guy does not disappear. He did. And right away, I went, oh, no. So I just took a step, you know, forward. Now, you know, that's where Rebecca Harlow is and Lisa Salters is there. And that's their, they have seats there where they work as the sideline reporters for the respective broadcasts. Lisa Salters was there for ESPN and Rebecca Harlow for MSG. And so I was moving towards that spot. And then you could see that Embiid was down. Embiid then finally gets up. But their bench, you could see those guys. They were looking on with great concern. And the whole building had this strange feeling. And I don't want to look, and we all know, I don't think anybody was celebrating because at first it was a gasp and concern because it's the way he went down. We all know he's got a knee injury. The whole 19,000 people know this man has a knee injury. They know that he had surgery. And so when he landed and went down, there was a gasp and then there was a murmur. And then all of a sudden, the longer he stayed down, there was this strange sort of, not cheer, but sort of like a, oh my God. You know, like this sense of, if that guy's hurt, this series might be a quick series. And so, you know, like it felt odd. It was strange. He gets up and he starts to walk to the tunnel. Now, I happen to just be there. He walks by and I'm locked on his eyes. Because you can learn a lot. Like a guy can limp and all this other stuff. Look in his eyes. What's going on in his eyes? He had this stare to the ground. Didn't make eye contact with anybody. Didn't blink. Just a stare. And I know on the replays, people said that his eyes were wide when he was looking up at the ceiling. But I'm saying like this was more of just a stare to the ground and he didn't blink. And he was just walking as if like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, that kind of feeling. If you've ever been through injury, unfortunately, I've been through a lot of them. I know that feeling where you're just trying to convince yourself, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And you know you're not good. He walks off, he goes through the tunnel, and I happen to just kind of go through that way. And the trainers are chasing him. They're behind him, they're walking him through, and he's dragging a leg. I'm thinking in my mind, there's no way this dude's coming back. Like, he's done. He got hurt 2 games ago. And returned, he re-injured it. You could just tell this thing's not stable. Every time he tries to do something, something crazy happens to him. And you cannot risk this kind of injury. He is not stable on that knee. Despite this gigantic Don Joy, they call it. It's a brace. It's a brand, Don Joy. It's this big brace. Offensive linemen wear this brace in the NFL. That's this monster brace that's supposed to stabilize your knee. And so he disappears. Halftime happens. And I happen to still be in the hallway. That's, you know, our studio is courtside studio right there. So that's our kind of place. As I get out, I walk out of the door now because you don't want to be in the way when players are coming through. You stay out of the way. And also what happens is at halftime at the Garden, you know, people are coming in from the Delta Club. It's just packed with people. It's long line. I always wait to the very, very, very end. Then I'll come out right before third quarter begins. So as I walk out, and I never saw Embiid walk by, and I'm like, he's not coming back. I step out into the hallway, and sure enough, I just feel this lurking presence, like a shadow over me. It's him. Literally, like, walks by me. And again, that same stare. Didn't change. Less of a limp. And he walks back out, and he's in uniform. And I'm like, and I just said, holy crap. I didn't say crap. I said, holy crap, man. And as I looked at him, no reaction, just kept going. I couldn't believe he was going back. I was like, oh, my God. Like, he's going to play. And again, you thought, what's he got left? Now, as we saw, he had a little bit left in the third quarter, and the Sixers were able to push back. And then by that fourth quarter, though, you could see it. The tank was empty. He couldn't move. Mitchell Robinson did a great job on him. I believe he was 0 for 5 with zero rebounds in the fourth quarter. And you just saw, like, that's it. And what you saw in his minutes was simply this. When he played, the Sixers were plus 14. When he was out of the game, they were minus 21. Like, you can't make that up. Like, that's the series right there. So that's what we saw. And that's what we continue to wonder. How could you possibly pick this series? How could you possibly predict anything without knowing what the condition of that knee is? Is it in his head? Did he go down and have a mental block rather than a true injury? Because no trainer, no orthopedic would ever let him back on the court if he was at risk of re-injuring that knee. The meniscus was surgically repaired. If they believe that knee is stable, they will send him back out there. There's no way they would let him back out there if there was some risk of injury. So is this something he's got to fight through? Does he have to get through it? Does he have to play and fall a few times and then get over it? That's what the Knicks have to find out. So tonight, with all these questions about him and then Maxey with his injury, with the illness, there's a lot on the line. The Knicks could take a stranglehold of this series if they win this game tonight. They did just enough to win the game on Saturday night, but it was not easy. And this series will not be easy, nor was it expected to be easy. But I'm going to tell you, after seeing what Embiid went through, hearing what Nick Nurse has been saying about him over the last couple of days as well, if I'm the Knicks, and this is not dirty play, this is not anything more than competition, you got to go at it. I mean, you got all your bigs. Be aware of it. That knee is not right. It's in his head. Even if his knee is stable, but his brain is not when it comes to that injury, how do you not test it over and over again? We're going to bump it. We're going to push it. Everything. Don't you feel like that's got to be the strategy here? Containing Maxey, of course, you got to figure that out. They did a great job on the boards. Josh Hart did what he was supposed to do, which is hit the open shot they were daring you to make. Everything that went right. Deuce McBride, what a game he had. But in the end, tonight, from the beginning, you cannot sit back and be respectful of an MVP who has a bad knee. You can't. You got to go at it. You got to get him moving, and you got to bump him and bump him and bump him. He's not going to want this. He's going to have to make a decision. Either he's going to have to get over it, and then he'll be fine. You test it until it proves one way or the other. Or he surrenders and says, I can't take it. You got to do it. You don't deliberately hurt anybody. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, you got to hit him. You got to test it and make him test it. Don't let him play on one leg. Don't make it easy for him. Because when you do, you saw in that first half what can happen. Absolute domination. You cannot afford that. This series could turn quickly if he gets over, if it is a mental hurdle. If he gets over that because you let him, that series can turn in a heartbeat. Remember, after tonight, the next two are in Philadelphia, where they're also going to have a raucous crowd, where they're going to be bloodthirsty and everything else. You know Philly fans, they'll get into it, and he'll ride that kind of momentum and emotion and everything else. So I want to know, and I want to see if he knows. Do you have it in you to take this kind of physical pounding you're going to need to take tonight to see if that knee can hold up or if you can mentally hold up? Those are big questions that the Knicks have to answer. They need him to answer them. It has to be tonight. 800-919-3776. Nick Nurse, again, when pushed about Embiid's status, they're going to ride him.
He's really a warrior, and he's battling. And I think he absolutely wants to play, but let's see how he turns out here tonight.
Like I said, yesterday he said feeling, you know, pretty good. And then today still listed as questionable. But again, I seriously doubt he sits out unless they think he could hurt it, cause further damage. Now, Dino, you had a theory that I stole from you and used it on Get Up today. I want you to know, full disclosure, you had a great theory on Friday, and I stole it and used it today because it was that good. And you remember, it was simply about the strategy of what to do with Embiid game one versus game two, right? Now, Dino's answering calls.
Now, was that the theory of maybe he should sit out one of these games?
The idea is steal game one. He empties the tank. Give it all you got. Game one. Game two, because you only have one day off, you sit him. Because you got your first game, you'll take the split. And because they don't play till Thursday, that's game three is Thursday, you buy him essentially Sunday through Wednesday, 4 days off to rest, recover, recharge, all the things you need to do, get treatment. And then he's a little stronger for game three, where you can then have your two games at home and feel a lot better. Because I believe game four is Sunday. So it's even more like, yeah, so you play Thursday, then you get 2 days. And so it's essentially you'll be playing one game in 7 days, if that's what he was able to do. Unfortunately, they lost game one. And so I don't know if you can even afford to play it that way. But I think that was originally the strategy. And it was working after the first quarter. And it actually continued to work despite what we saw when he went down. It was still working in the third quarter when they made their push back. It just, he could not take it home. So that's something to wonder if one of the strategies kind of blew up on them. But we shall see. But that was Dino's idea. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood. I did steal that. 800-919-3776. So let's get to some calls here on this, because I know everybody has an opinion on it and everybody wants to chime in about it. It's been the talk of the whole weekend everywhere I've gone, and I love it, because this is what you dream of. This is the playoffs. It's drama. You want excitement. You want this kind of stuff going on. Man, Saturday night, that was all kinds of drama. Let's begin with, let's see, Baritone and Queen. Start us off, Baritone.
My guy.
What's happening?
What's going on, man? Like I told it, I said, Miles McBride of Allen when we spoke.
What a game. What a game he had. I mean, what a game. What a second quarter he had. It was 42-7, the bench scoring. But what he did, like, you haven't seen what he's done. Like, that's the kind of stuff he did off the bench was unbelievable. Yeah, Bart loves him. But that, yeah, I mean, how big was that? And just, again, for a guy that you know behind the scenes quietly just puts in the work, you know, doesn't want attention, doesn't ask for attention, absolutely tremendous. You know, just to see what he did. First Knicks player with 20 points and 5 3-pointers off the bench in a playoff game all time.
Wow. I did not know that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think that they're going to have to run a lot of pick and rolls. So make Joel Embiid move. But the thing is, I was shocked that Achiuwa didn't play. But, you know, maybe later in the series he may, you know, depending on if the bigs have foul trouble, he'll probably get in there. But they just got to work and let Embiid move and drop to the basket.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they have to make it almost a point. Thank you, Baritone. They have to make it a point to find him on the defensive end and attack him. Make him, you're right, make him move laterally. Make him move. Test that knee. And I'm telling you also this, you got to box him out. I mean, you got to hit him. Mitchell Robinson, I give him credit, man. He went toe-to-toe with him. Now, was Embiid compromised? Yes, but so what? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You know he doesn't want to take it to the basket. You know he's going to want to shoot jumpers. You jump on him, you get up on him so you don't give him any airspace. You make him dribble the basketball, and then what Mitch did was put pressure on him. Perfect. And you need more of it. Javier in Queens. Javi.
Han Solo, my man. How's it going?
I'm good.
You know, Alan, every time I get on with you here, I swear Bart is out. One of these days, I'm going to catch the two of you. But before I get to my next point, last week I was concerned. I heard about you and the Nature Boy get into it. You know, he could really swing it, but it seems like you guys figured it out. There's peace.
There is. We had a meeting of the minds. I mean, I gave him my woo. I think my woo was pretty good. And then he respected it. But then we also discussed, you know, the LeBron stuff. And I think, you know, we both came to the agreement on where we both sit with LeBron James. So that's good. He defends his guy, though. I give him credit. He defends his guy. He loves his LeBron.
It was so refreshing to hear two adults be able to talk about that, because I was going to tell you, you know, he's no Falcon coming after your daughter. That's a Nature Boy. But you handled it like a gentleman.
Listen, Falcon, I'm ripping wings off. Like, you know that.
So listen, with the Knicks, you know, Jalen Brunson is the real guy that could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and no one's calling the cops. You know what I mean? The Knicks got the city in a chokehold. I feel that before the series started, I thought the Knicks would win in 5 or 6. I still feel very confident about that. And you know what? Philly fans, they don't need to feel so bad. They can put the horse poop down. Their sanitation workers will not need to grease up the poles. Wow. You know, this series is over, Alan. Philly's best chance to win was on Saturday. I thought the Knicks might come out cold. They didn't come out hot. Mm-hmm. And there is no way, I mean no way, that Brunson is going to have two bad games in a row. Yeah. So, you know, they're going to – yeah, I don't think so. What do you think, Al?
I hear you. I hear your confidence, Javi, and I appreciate it. But the Brunson thing, I want to pump the brakes a little bit. Here's why. Here's why I'm a little still concerned coming out of that game about Jalen Brunson. It's simply this. That's 5 games now. Nick Nurse took over as head coach this season. We know Nick Nurse, a great defensive coach with great defensive schemes. And they have had Oubre on him majority of the time. Now, it's been Maxey as well. But for the most part, you're going to see Oubre on him. Oubre picks him up almost 94 feet. And he just stays on him. And he's got the length. And he's quick with his feet. And Jalen has struggled against Oubre this season. So it wasn't just Saturday night. It's been the whole season. In 5 games now, 4 regular season and the 5th one in the playoffs, he is holding him to like 29% effective field goal percentage. That's not Jalen Brunson. He's normally very, you know, obviously very efficient shooter. He's off balance. He's not getting to his spots. The length is bothering him as well. The help too. Like, Oubre will like almost block from behind a couple of shots. Very careful with not drawing fouls, because that's what everybody knows Jalen's very good at drawing fouls. He's done his homework. You got to give credit where credit is due. And so they just might have the right game plan for him. I'm curious to see if there's any adjustment at all for game 2 on how they can get him to his spots and get into a rhythm. But he was not in rhythm. There were very few rhythm shots for Brunson, and that's where everybody else had to step up. And that's where, of course, Deuce McBride and what he was able to do, Bogdanovich, and most importantly, late in the game, Josh Hart, made a huge difference. So I don't feel great right now, because you know all the focus is on him. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, Alan? First off, go Knicks. How about that chant outside MSG? Like, I just love this time of the year, because, like, even, like, chanting, like, let's go Boston, we want Boston, like, it's just electric. And I can only imagine, like, all the Knicks fans outside MSG Studios, like, at the window and stuff. That must be fun.
We got a pretty good crowd. We did on Saturday night. Now, it's early yet. As I remember last year, as the playoffs went on, the crowds got bigger and bigger. So we'll see. I'll talk more on that, by the way, because there was a big to-do about Knicks fans celebrating outside the Garden as if it was something to be embarrassed about. We got to talk about that later in the show. But go ahead.
Right. Yeah, no, I just wanted to make a point on what you were saying. I think with the Embiid thing, listen, it's the playoffs. Just get at him, because if one of our guys was in a similar situation, you think Philly would have any mercy upon us?
You don't.
No.
If Julius Randle was on the court, you're not telling me that they aren't going to be bumping shoulders and hitting them. And,
exactly.
You know, like, that's – it's just – this is how the sport is played. There's a reason why in hockey they call it a lower body injury or upper body. They don't want you to know a specific spot. They don't want you to know.
Exactly.
Because they know you'll go at it. And that's – a. You know, I'm not saying deliberately hurt anyone. Nobody is saying, like, you know, there's no code red. But it doesn't mean that, okay, so I know that knee's not right. Guess where I'm going? I'm going at that knee. I'm going to set screens on that knee. When I box out, guess where I'm going? I'm going on that leg to box out. Like, you're going to feel it the whole game, and we're going to test your ability to fight through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the playoffs, and you just made some great points as well. My last point would just be, listen, we talked about this for days. A lot of the other ESPN announcers talked about it. I listened to you guys religiously. And it was true, leading up to the series, that Jalen Brunson was going to be a double team. Who was going to step up next, and could they step up next? And a big question even going into this was Deuce McBride, and one of the other callers just spoke on it. But this guy, man, he looks like an all-star. Like, just the way, maybe not an all-star, but just the way he handles himself, the way he can shoot, and the confidence he's playing with. If he could keep it up, because Nick Nurse, like you were saying, brings some great defense at Brunson, and if Brunson has some off nights and Deuce McBride could keep this up, and Bogdanovich as well, it's going to be fun, man. And, I give us a chance against anybody, to be honest.
It is true if they can continue to shoot. Thanks, Dan. And one thing that Nick Nurse said after the game about all that stuff, like Josh Hart making the shots, Deuce making the shots, he said, we'll live with that. Because what you're doing is you're trying to see is, can they keep it up? And you're betting they can't. The numbers tell you they can't. See, that's what's going on there. Okay, you did it for one game. Can you do it for three more to take the series? The numbers say you won't, and that's what he's betting on. All right, 800-919-3776. So we will continue with your calls on this. Plenty more to get to, of course. We have the NFL draft is this week, and a lot happening in that. The Rangers get their game one win, so they also begin their quest for the Stanley Cup, which, by the way, I ran into today. Lots to get to with you. Han Solo on Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. They got a winning game one on Saturday night. Game two for the Knicks is tonight. Big factor back in that opening game was the play of the bench for Tom Thibodeau's team.
Our bench was terrific and led by Mitch. I thought Bogey gave us really good minutes and Deuce did as well. So those three guys gave us a big lift. We had to dig out of the hole to start the game. Then the rebounding was big and we had to withstand. We started slowly, and then we started the third quarter slowly, but we found a way to win.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM and the all-new ESPN New York app.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Han Solo today with you. 800-919-3776 is the number. We've got tons of calls to get to and lots of different topics to get to as well. So let's continue rolling with the calls, shall we? Let's go to Jose in Brooklyn. Hey, Jose.
Hey, Alan. Shout out to the company. Good afternoon. And I'm excited for game two, as you can see. And pretty much, you know, we've been kind of lockstep on the importance of Mitchell Robinson. We both felt that, you know, if he had him in that Atlanta series, you know, click the button and, you know, the other guy is not bullying Julius Randle and we're not, you know, getting out rebounded every night. And seeing, you know, how his impact was in last year's playoffs and then seeing his impact in game one, I want to know, are we going to be seeing more Mitchell Robinson kind of, you know, giving that disruption for Joel Embiid? Because it's very clear, like you said, we keep need to run at him. We keep need to tiring him out. Because I've always believed when you, it's not, you know, it's your strategy. Right. You know, you better believe Miami was definitely, you know, doubling and tripling Brunson and Randle last year with the ankles. So it's something that it has to be done. So what do we see? Do we see Mitchell Robinson possibly getting more minutes or possibly being inserted into the starting lineup in this playoff run? I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that, and thank you for your time.
Well, I do think they're going to use him a ton now, and he showed you that he can guard him. He's certainly strong enough. I mean, that's as good as Mitchell Robinson has looked since before his injury back in December. Let's not forget he's also coming back from surgery, and not anybody expected him to be back. I thought the biggest play of all was when he got the block, and then he jumped a second jump and then saved it and hit it off Maxi for the Knicks to get the basketball. And that second jump was quick. And usually, like, that's all right, that's instinctual. And his ability to do that, got his mind off the injury. You could see he's got the pushback. That's all good. So it's taking him a little bit of a while for him to kind of get his body back and to get comfortable again, get into game rhythm. But that's as good as he looked. And that's a very, very positive sign for the Knicks. So let's take AB in Brooklyn. AB.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? See you rolling solo today without Bart. Just had a quick question about the Rangers. And I also got my next point. Just with the Rangers, man, what did you see in the first game, and what do you think they have to do to make a deep playoff run? And with the Knicks, man, I love what I saw in game one. All things considered, Brunson had an off game. Everybody else came to play, and I'm with you. As far as with Embiid with the leg, you got to go straight Karate Kid. Yeah. They got to sweep the leg. Put him through pick and rolls, have him do whatever it is, and – Like my 17-year-old son said, Alan, he said, Joel Embiid, Joel Prisbella, Billy Joel, he don't care, Knicks and five.
Whatever the Joel. I understand, AB. Well, quickly on the Rangers, the first period went kind of very similar to like the Knicks' first quarter, like a little like, you know, the building had a lot of energy and you kind of, you just feel like a little bit of nervousness. I don't know what it was, tension, whatever it is, or something like that. And Rempe getting that first goal almost felt like it cut the tension, right? Because of who it was. You know, they love him. The building loves him. And him getting that goal, which was great. He's in front of the net, just good things happen. And it just felt like that opened it up. The floodgates suddenly opened. They get three quick ones. Now they're in control and they can cruise. And that was so important. So there's that. I mean, it's amazing to me, though, when you watch the Capitals and you go, Tom Wilson, he's still in the league. Is he still doing that stuff? Like, it really is amazing. They should win this series. Now, I'm not saying easily, but, you know, they should feel pretty confident in this series. They have everything you need. I was talking to P.K. Subban today. He was on Get Up, and he's on First Take. We were in the Seaport together, and he just feels like they have everything they need to win a cup. They do. They have everything they need. It's like anything, any playoff run. You got to have fortune. Things have to go your way. You can't have any issues like, you know, your goaltending falls off or anything like that. And obviously no injuries. But they have everything you need. It's just a matter now of putting it to practice. And I guess all year, the concern has been the 5-on-5 stuff with their top line. And can they, you know, can they score 5-on-5? Because although in the playoffs, the power play is everything, you know they don't call as much. But the other problem for the Rangers is taking too many penalties. I feel like that was part of the issue with the slow start as well. And then, yeah, I mean, I think it's, I've said it enough. When it comes to the Knicks, if Embiid's in the lineup tonight, you cannot apologize. You go right at him. You know it's either a mental block or he's playing on something that is injured or is not strong. Whatever it is, it's the playoffs. You exploit all weaknesses. You have to. Tom in Cold Spring. Tom.
Hey.
What's happening, Tom?
How you doing?
Good.
Oh, am I on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, hey, Alan. So, quick couple points. You know, people talk about Brunson having an off game. I don't think it was an off game. An off game is when you miss a lot of open shots, and he didn't. You know, they were all over him, had a great defensive setup. Like you said earlier with Nick Nurse, he knows what to do when it comes to guarding and defending Brunson, right? So the other point, though, I had is it's really more of a question. So a couple of times Embiid just kind of bowled over Mitchell Robinson, all right? Just steamrolled him, mm-hmm. right? And I know charging foul, you need to have your feet set or whatever, but isn't there a point where – you know, whether you're moving your feet or not, as long as you don't reach in, that can still be an offensive foul against Embiid. So that's all I got. Thanks, Alan. You're the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to draw a charge, thank you, Tom, against a guy 7'2" and 290 pounds. You know what I mean? And, like, he's – you know, look, you got to give credit's due. He's, for his size, he's got incredible skill. And so a lot of times with him, he can do a Euro. He could do a step back. It's not – he's difficult to guard. And his fadeaway also, you got to respect that. I'm talking about, forget about offense. He doesn't really want to go to the basketball. He tried to post up early. He was doing a lot of that stuff early, but you could see it. He really didn't want to drive. You got to keep that in mind and not give him the space to take threes because, as we learned, he can absolutely knock down the three. Al in the Bronx, what's up, Al? Al, we got you.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yo, what's happening?
Real quick, just what I want to sit there and say. Call the janitor, pulling out the brooms. It's going to be a four-game sweep. Thinking about the gentleman sweep. I'm not worried about Embiid. And something the guy that just said, that the caller before just said, he was like, that wasn't a bad game for Brunson. What it was, the rest of our bench stepped up. And something that we really got to think about, I hate to say this, I miss Julius Randle a lot. I missed OG. But because those guys didn't play for so much of the season, our bench is not afraid of stuff like this. They could step up at any point in time. Miles McBride could step up at any point in time. And in the words of French Montana, we ain't worried about nothing. We good. We good
all
this
right.
round.
Al's feeling confident. And one thing he pointed out, though, is true. Three bench players who have all been starters. That's also something. Deuce has started games and he's played very well. Remember, Deuce was playing 40-minute games, 48-minute games at some point in this season, having to step up and play. Bogdanovich's been a starter most of his career and is used to being a scorer and a guy relied upon. And then Mitch Robinson is also used to being a starter coming off the bench. So this is not a typical three guys off the bench who don't have much experience, you know, as starters or have to emerge and stuff like that. They have done it throughout the season. Playoffs, different animal, though. We all know that. All right, 800-919-3776. We will keep your calls stacked, racked, and ready to go. Coming up, we'll talk to somebody who actually played with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, has some experience playing playoff games there, and can tell us what he thinks is going to happen in this series and whether or not Joel Embiid can carry this team on that one leg. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. No Bart today, so Han Solo with you. We'll get back to your calls.
I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
That's right. Don't you forget it. 800-919-3776. We'll get back to your calls and the conversation and everything else. But, you know, when doing this kind of stuff, when talking about the game at this level, the playoff level, and obviously, you know, where we are and the drama and everything else, I always like going to those who have been there and done that. Nobody's done it more than Danny Green. And he joins us right now. And Danny, DJ has played not only with Joel Embiid, he also beat him in the playoffs in 2019 so famously with that amazing shot when he was with the Raptors. So he's played for Nick Nurse. He has played with Joel Embiid. So who better to talk to about this series than him? So thanks for giving me a few minutes here, but I appreciate it. I know you're busy, but first thing out of the gate is when you saw Embiid go down, what would, like, did you think there's no way this guy's coming back?
No. I mean, I thought there was a possibility he's coming back. I figured it was just a little tweak. It's the playoffs. You know, people are going to fight through it. People are going to play through bumps and bruises. When he came down, it didn't look as major. I was hoping it wasn't major, but it didn't look as major. And sometimes it happens. There's been multiple times where he's gone to the back and
oh, we lost him. Terrible. He was right in the middle of a great point. Bad signal. We will get him back. But you heard what he was talking about. He didn't doubt it. Now, again, just for context, Danny Green played two seasons in Philadelphia with Embiid. And they were two seasons that, once again, as usual, again, the story's always been they couldn't get out of the second round. It was 2021, 2022. Embiid had the orbital fracture in the 22 season. They lost to the Heat in the second round after beating the Raptors. And so, again, he's played with him. He certainly has seen him in these battles. So, got you back, DG. So, you were talking about how you have seen him before do this, and he's come back each time.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it happens a lot. You just hope for the best, right? And there's been times where he's tweaked something. He goes to the back and comes back and plays. Now, there has been major injuries where he hasn't come back, but there's been often times where something tweak happens. He'll get checked out. He'll get looked at by his trainer. So I didn't. When I saw the play, it didn't look as major. The way he reacted, it made it seem like it was more major. So I was a little worried. I was hoping it wasn't major, but yeah, I was like, you know, he's probably gonna come back. See, if he doesn't come back, then it's a serious thing. But I'd assume he'd take a couple of minutes and then come back. So I wasn't thinking at first like, oh, he's definitely out and he's not looking good. I was like, nah, it didn't look that major. I think he might be back.
How much is this stuff the mental hurdle for a guy like him at his size as well? Like, you feel things after knee surgery that you maybe it's like it becomes almost like a mind game. You got to get over it mentally. How much of that do you think is factoring in here with him? Because it's the second time in three games he's left a game because he's tweaked it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the more of the percentage is that than anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been through the surgery, and most of it is trying to get the confidence to do and try those things. And when coming down, not be too leery of it. And when you feel something, not think that it's torn again. You know, like it might just be like you're okay. You did the rehab. Your leg is strong enough to handle this. You have to just trust it. And so I think that's probably 90% of it for him, of just being, you know, comfortable with the knee and comfortable doing things with the knee that he wasn't doing before the surgery, you know? So,
yeah.
And I think that's why it might have scared him, made him a little uncomfortable. And he's like, I don't know. It made me feel a little weird. And then once he gets himself back under him, he's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, I haven't done this in a while, but my knee can handle it. My knee is used to it. So I think it's more mental side than anything.
Talking with Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. He's been an all-defensive player as well. And teammates with Joel Embiid for a couple of seasons, played for Nick Nurse as well. So, again, has that background. So you were a defensive player as well as a three-point shooter, but your defense was something that was always the thing that carried with you from team to team. If you saw a player that was compromised, like Embiid might be with the brace and everything else, would you would you test that as much as you possibly? It's the playoffs, right? It's not speaking out of pocket to say if you're the Knicks, you got to be going at that thing, right? If you think it's a mental hurdle for him.
100%. I mean, it's not like you're going to go at him dirt in a dirty way.
Right.
You're going to attack him on defense, make him move laterally, make him get in pick and rolls. I mean, that would be the smart thing to do with anybody. Even if they weren't unhealthy, if they weren't great moving laterally, you're going to attack those guys. Like, that's what the playoffs is about, right? Mismatches. But especially a superstar, right? If he's healthy or not, you still want to make him work on both ends of the floor. Like Steph Curry, you guys are like, all right, we're going to make him play defense. So on offense, he's a little bit tired. The same thing with Joel, same thing with Bron. Anybody else you can list, Luka, it's like, all right, we're going to try to attack this guy. Even if they are good defensively, it doesn't matter. You still want them to, you know, get some wear and tear on that end of the floor. So it would only be smart for a team to try to attack him, yes.
Yeah, make him work. As far as what Nick Nurse is doing with Jalen Brunson, what are you seeing? And how can Jalen Brunson counteract it?
I mean, they're trapping him, of course. Obviously, they're making other guys beat them. They have the pieces around them. I think he'll figure it out. He didn't have particularly his best game, which is a good sign for you guys, you know, for winning a game without him having his best game. And, you know, he's a winner, man. He's crafty. He'll make more shots. He'll make better. He had some open looks he just didn't make. He had some normal shots. They're putting length on him. They're doubling him. And I said he's crafty enough to figure it out. And if not, I said he'll pick him apart in other ways. He's a smart player, and he knows how to win.
Now, speaking of, again, you know, you take away from him and what Nick Nurse said after the game when he saw, like whether it was Deuce McBride hitting a bunch of threes, Josh Hart hit big threes late. He's like, you know, we'll live with that. And I imagine it's because you'd rather – someone else make those shots than the star player make those shots. You've been in situations throughout your career where you had to make those big shots because whether it was LeBron was doubled or anybody else that you've played with that is considered the star player was doubled and the ball finds you. What is that like for a game plan, number one, and for Josh Hart, who prepared for it, to know, I'm going to get these shots, I better be ready to make them. Like, is that something he can do game to game?
I think so. I mean, he did it against us last year when I was in Cleveland. So,
yep.
You know, it's the reason why they paid him the big bucks. It's just being ready, you know, and being confident. You know, I talked to a lot of the role guys. It's like, as much as we go to these star players, and I think, you know, Philly could do a better job of getting the other guys involved, they are more important during these times than the star players. Obviously, star players are going to do what they do, but you guys are the ones that the X-Factor are going to win us games, and that's, you know, winning plays. You know, diving on loose balls, but knocking down shots. Nobody accounts for you guys to make two or three threes. And every series, you look at it, you know, Bron, AD, you know, Jamal and Jokic. The reason why they win is because other guys will knock down shots like KCP or something like that. You got to find a guy to be an X factor when it comes to, like, I think Lakers have a chance, but it's going to be reliant on D'Lo, Austin Reeves, and Rui. Rui, like, those guys are the X factors. So you can't predict and prepare for those guys to make shots like Deuce McBride. Nobody's preparing for him to hit five threes a series. But now he has to do it all series, but he got you a game. You know what I'm saying? Now somebody else has to step up. Bojan, he's been playing well. But if they get somebody else to come off the bench or even the starting lineup to step up, he's OG, it's a 25-point game. So those are the guys that said that make and break your series or can win you games throughout the playoffs. And he's got to be ready. Be ready and be confident and let it fly.
Do you think who are you picking in this series? Who do you think has the upper hand in this series? I know it's 1-0 Knicks, but still, do you have a pick?
Yeah, I publicly already picked before the series started. I said the Knicks, I think, are going to get this one because I think it's going to wear Joel down. His knee isn't 100%, and, you know, Philly is not 100% healthy either. And I think the loss of D'Anthony Melton hurts them more than people know, even though you guys are down with Julius. But, yeah, Joel not being 100% healthy and having to go 6 or 7 games, he's going to wear and tear on them. Tyrese is very good, but other guys on their team are going to have to step up as well, but they have to get those guys involved. I don't know if they will, but I give you guys upper hand because you guys are a deeper team.
Listen, man, I appreciate you as always jumping on last second like this. I know you got podcasts and doing everything else, so thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon down the line.
Of course, man. Anytime. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Danny Green. Again, he's got three rings. This man has been there, done that. He's seen it all. And the defense, he's had to play. He's been an all-defensive pick. He has been on championship-level teams. He's one of my, as I mentioned, but he has been that guy that Josh Hart was at the end of that game. And there are times he's missed shots. And I'll never forget texting him after game when he was playing. I think was it with Lakers? Or who was he with? There was a game where he missed late shots. Had to be Cleveland. And missed them late. And, I mean, fans were all over. No. It was in the bubble. It was the Lakers. He missed big shots late, and fans were all over him for it. Very next game, money. And you got to have that mentality from game to game. And I believe Nick Nurse has that mentality for his defense. This is what we're doing. We are taking away Jalen Brunson. And someone else is going to have to beat us, which means someone else is going to have to make shots. And Josh Hart said he knew they were going to let me shoot. That's what he said. I knew it. I had to be ready. He spent the whole week working on his shot. The whole week knowing these are the shots I'm going to get. I better be ready. And then when the time came to be ready to knock him down, he was 4-for-8. During the regular season, he was 4-for-20. In games against Philly. So he said the numbers told them, leave me open. So they left me open, and I was ready. And he hit 4-for-8 and 3 big ones in the fourth quarter. Now, you heard, as DG said, can you do it again? Because you know Nick Nurse is not changing it. Oh, my God, now we have to guard Josh Hart. No, you don't. Now you got to see if Josh Hart can do it again. You know, that's how this stuff works with adjustments. You trust in what you did. And if he hits those shots, the percentages will tell you he's going to miss them next time around. We shall see. Great stuff there from Danny Green. All right, coming up, we get the latest from this series and the injury updates and everything else from those who are covering this series. There's a lot going on here. 800-919-3776. We will break it down for you in the next hour. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
PanCan Purple Stride is the ultimate walk to help end pancreatic cancer. If you or a loved one has been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation and fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at the South Seaport Pier 17. Register today at purplestride.org/New York. Once again, that's purplestride.org/New York.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. You knew the 76ers would try to focus their defense on Jalen Brunson, and that's exactly what they did back in game one of their playoff series. The Knicks star held to 22 points on 8 of 26 shooting. So Jalen, was it good defense or just a bad game?
No, it was great defense, and they had a great game plan, and I got to go back to the drawing board and be better. But I think the one thing I just kept going, I just kept turning the page, knowing that things would be better. I have to have short-term memory when things like that happen. So honestly, just got to give him a lot of credit.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.